Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, October 2nd, 2024. My goodness, I got look like Frankenstein, if you can see me. I'm not sure right now. We're having some equipment difficulties. We're going to see how this plays out with respect to the equipment that we have. Folks, that reminds me, don't forget, within 10 to 14 days, we're going to be going live. We're really ratcheting up our show because of the environment and because of what they have done and are doing to InfoWars, because of what they have done and are doing to other platforms. We're going to be going live. And there's a bit of self-preservation built into that tactic, but I'm not going to get into that. But I just want to say this. It's going to be an exciting way to interact with us, listeners. We're going to be going live on Rumble. I don't know if we can. I'm sure we can. I'll talk to Eric the Tech if we can go live like on X and other platforms. I don't know. But we're going to do everything we can to get the word out, because right now we are facing so many crises, plural, in the run-up to the 2024 election. This is not going to be your normal election. I'm going to tell you right now, with what the left, the communist left have planned, this is not a normal election. Real quick, if we can toss this in here, because I got a jam-packed show for you. If we can toss this video in here, you know, the steal has already started. Actually, it never stopped, but the steal is already going on. Arizona, 218,000 non-citizen voters being allowed to vote. If we can we play the only clip that we're going to play right with respect to the news, this one here? Go ahead and hit it. And here it is.
Now, this new data set, as they're calling it, brings the total number of people impacted to 218,000 instead of the 98,000 we first reported. These people were mistakenly marked as having provided documentary proof of citizenship. And Arizona voter registration database now has correctly flagged the impacted individuals. Election officials say they will contact the affected Arizonans with information regarding their status after the general election. That means for now, the Arizona Supreme Court's ruling is going to stay that impacted voters, that includes all of them, will still be able to vote.
I'll tell you what a bunch of BS that is. We have to look. Folks, I think the people have forgotten the Battle of Athens. I want everyone to really understand the Battle of Athens, 1946. And I'm not talking about Greece. I'm talking about Tennessee in this country. You better start fighting back. I'm already I already signed up for a poll watcher. I'm on the list, and as a matter of fact, I think I'll be certified as a poll challenger. But do your part, get out there, and you might say, "Well, voting is a bunch of BS." Well, no, you've got to do everything in your power, I believe, before. Well, you're going to need the ballot box before the bullet box. I'm just saying, okay, the cartridge box. I'm just saying, look, we have to do everything in our power to stave off any kind of bad things that could very well result from this upcoming election. But there is something going on. Last night, I spoke with a number of people. And my heart hurts. I mean, I'm telling you right now, my heart hurts. The stories I've heard, you had Hurricane Helene come in. One of the most devastating storms in recent history. Whole communities wiped out. I mean, just flattened, wiped out. You've got human suffering. And again, I spoke to a gentleman who was still looking for his family last night. I committed to this man to offer all of our resources to find his family. To listen to that conversation, it's heartbreaking. Look, this is a case where when you call 911, ain't no one coming to help you. Or if the help is coming, it's not coming right now when you need it. I don't want to make this political. I'm not going to. This is a disaster of biblical proportions, and people are just not getting it. Members of our own, members of Shatter Ops team, in the path of this as well. Some sustained some damage. I'm not going to get into it. It's not about any one of us. It's about all of us. I spoke to a gentleman last evening, Andrew Lowe, who's on the ground helping people. He's on the ground running supplies. Look, there are a lot of great people doing this, but it's up to us, we the people, to help our brothers and sisters in need. And man, do they need our help. I was going to mention at the beginning of the show, and I'm going to mention it now. You know, to go live, it's going to cost us roughly, with the upgrade, $15,000. How much more do we need, you might ask? Glad you asked that. $13,552. When do we need it by? The end of the week. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just put that aside. I will get the necessary funds through a mortgage, which is not really a big deal. And any donations that you're thinking about perhaps, you know, sending to us, I would like you to send to this man, the organization attached to this man. And that is B, like B-E, 1, spell out the number 1, b1church.com/give. That is B-E-O-N-E, church, b1church.com/give. And select the Missions Disaster Response. Andrew Lowe is with me, joining me right now. He's really at ground zero, helping people, rescuing people, rescuing pets, delivering supplies. I mean, doing everything possible to help his fellow man. I don't want to overstate what he's doing, but most assuredly, I don't think I could. And I don't think there's any way to understate what he's doing. He's a friend of the Shatter Ops team, and therefore he's a friend of Hagman PI, the Hagman Report. After I spoke to him, I made another call. I am going to do what I can to arrange through my stepson, if this is possible. I don't know. I haven't worked out the details yet, to get a semi truck, if that's possible, and get some supplies down to this man where they can be airdropped into the Asheville area, which is my understanding where he was yesterday. And that's one of several areas that are in dire need of water, of food, of things that got washed away. So I want you to listen carefully to Andrew Lowe. Again, b1church.com/give. That link will be prominent in the program description box, but the heart-wrenching stories, I cannot convey the hurt that's in my heart right now, all of our hearts. But with me is Andrew Lowe. Andrew, thank you for joining me today. I know you're busy.
Hello, Doug, and thank you for the opportunity to come chat to your audience.
And thank you for taking your time out. I know that time away from your mission is time critical. So I'm asking everyone in our audience that's listening to this and watching this to please, please, please forget about us in terms of our drive donations, drive donations to b1church.com/give. The link will be in the program description box below. But Andrew, what's going on? Give us a thumbnail sketch of what you've encountered, what you've seen, what's going on down there right now.
Sure. So I'm not a logistics guy, Doug. You know, I'm just someone trying to serve the Lord in the best way I can, and so it's not like me to be front and center like this. But hey, we have some great faithful people that we are connected with through the church and through various business networks and whatnot. So they are all just willing to do the work and give God the glory. So I want to paint the picture for the audience that, unfortunately, is not being shared widely in the media. These people have had no power since late last week, no water. The water infrastructure is basically out because the pump stations don't work. There's, breaches in the lines that mean the water is not safe in its current state. So there's no food. People have worked through the food that they have in storage. So we literally have first responders that are going to search for missing people, and they don't know when their next meal is going to be. They may have had a little bit of dried MREs and whatnot that they've been surviving on. But we were contacted by a emergency management network up there with some departments that needed help. Specifically, first of all, it was Swannanoa here. That there's a little picture behind me right here, on right here below me. So we were able to, through our contacts, we got three helicopters organized. We loaded them up with about 750 pounds of food and supplies, and we flew them up there yesterday morning. Of course, all that those pilots are just serving too, right? They're just letting us pay their expenses. They're volunteering to do this.
Andrew, is that the only way in some of these areas to get supplies from point A to point B is by helicopter, because there's really no roads left to go into those areas?
That's right. So as of last night, the official info that we had is that Western North Carolina roads are closed. There is no access. We're talking roads are washed away. The debris field that is blocking roads with downed trees and the apocalyptic level of debris that needs to be cleared. These are inaccessible by road, these areas, and there are thousands, tens of thousands of people trapped. They are in a desperate situation. The guys, once they successfully delivered these supplies to Swannanoa, they were asked to head up to a location just northeast of Hickory. And when they got there, they were informed that there's a nursing home that has been without power, without water, without supplies since the end of last week. And so they spent all day yesterday shuttling nursing home patients from the hillside where they're stranded to the nearest airfield, which was about 30 minutes away. So they actually relocated and rescued 40 seniors, Doug.
That's hard to imagine.
Yeah, and these are private. These are private people. This is they are hobby pilots. They saw that there's a need. They've stepped up and done it. I spoke to them following the work that they did, and they said there's an overwhelming emotion when you see when they landed and they would offload some of these patients who had been not in great shape, and there was nursing teams waiting at the airfield that were able to immediately start caring for them. And they just said that it was emotional, right? This is neighbor caring for neighbor. And unfortunately, it's down to people that are willing to get it done, because, no one's going to come and save you from from the government that seems we're, it's like we people just got to step up and do it. This is the America that we love, that people stand up and do what they can to help when these times come around. So that's where we are right now.
Andrew, you know, I really don't want to make this political, as I said, but I guess there's really no way around this. Okay, again, I was on the phone a lot last night and into this morning. Grown men crying, women crying about what's... Where in the hell is FEMA? Where in the hell is it... Where's the federal response? I mean, if we can give billions upon billions to Ukraine, what's going on with the federal help, with the federal assistance?
That's a great question. Look, I know there are wonderful people in those response teams with FEMA. Because frankly, for the last 24 hours, I've been preoccupied with getting our resources equipped and supplied and ready to go and skids up on time and wheels off on aircraft. I don't frankly know where that whole process is with the FEMA. I know there's a lot of great people on the ground and they are going to be working 24/7, but I'm not the guy can answer that for you, Doug.
But, I mean, you didn't happen to stumble into anybody from FEMA, from the federal government. These are all volunteers, people such as yourself, just getting aid to these people and getting these people out of harm's way. Is that what the deal is right now?
Right. So I'm kind of managing the logistics side. We had the three helicopters. We also had an aircraft take supplies down to Brooks County, Georgia, which is the Valdosta area, which is also, just in a terrible situation. Then we had another airplane deliver supplies up to Franklin, North Carolina. And so that's a mixture of food, water, diapers, baby formula, meat, canned goods, stuff that these first responders are going to need and sustain them as they're out running operations literally 24/7 with no supplies. So I don't know. I'm sure the people are out there. They're doing their best. At a higher level than the ground operations. I
like that description. The ground operations, But to me, that's like a grinding service that you're providing. Because you've got to just. To me, this is where it's at. You're actually providing the services. You're grinding through the processes to get this help, to get people out of the way. How can people best help you? I need to know this. We spoke last night briefly about a few things. We're going to do what we can from our end to provide you with supplies, with whatever money that we do get in. We're going to be sending it your way so you can use it, because I know whatever money comes into you, to the link, b1church.com/give, I know that's going to go directly to the where it's needed, as opposed to some bureaucracy. So that's one thing. But what can people do to best help you right now?
Well, the comment that the pilots were getting everywhere when they're up there in the disaster area is that they need helicopters up there. The roads are destroyed. The airplanes can only land, of course, at an airfield with a runway. And so that gets busy real quick. The larger helicopters were not able to land at this nursing home, which is why the smaller, more agile and they can land in more environments, the smaller helicopters, those are desperately needed to get to these areas that are cut off from the rest of civilization. So anyone out there with contacts, we can help deploy those resources through the emergency management teams that we have connections in.
I just want to make sure I understand this correct, because there's an airbase nearby, obviously, or a base, military base nearby that have helicopters. Those are not, they're not capable of landing where they need to land because of the size, or is there something else to that, or are you looking?
My understanding is that the larger helicopters, which would of course be common in the military, are too big to land in many of the neighborhoods, or just a field that a small yard that some people are trapped in, a whole area on the side of a mountain, right? For example, yesterday we had the helicopters land in a Walmart parking lot, and that was in order to facilitate the rescue of some of these elderly nursing home patients when they were dropping them off. Instead of dropping them at the airfield, they were able to do it at a Walmart. It was closer to the care that these people needed. And, you know, so examples like that is where the civilian-sized aircraft can actually be more versatile than the bigger stuff.
All right. And I want people to take notice of the pictures behind you, because I went through that very quickly. If you can expand that, Eric. Thank you. So the people, the pictures behind you are actually people being rescued inside. It looks like at least one, if not all the top two, are in helicopters, right?
I mean. That's right, yes. So the two upper pictures are inside a helicopter. It's a four-seater, and for safety, there's a pilot and co-pilot. And so they were doing two at a time, and three little birds. That means each load, you're able to get six people total, and they're shuttling them back and forth. Wow. And then the picture right here is of the Swannanoa Fire Department receiving the goods that we supplied them with. And this other side is a snap of the team. I'll get my microphone out of the way. That's the team that before they took off right up around 8 a.m. yesterday morning, and they worked all day, and basically as light was, to get out of the area before the light faded. That's right. That's how hard they were working yesterday.
Man, I'll tell you what. So folks, this is a call. This is your time to shine, ladies and gentlemen. If you have or know somebody who's got a what would you call that? Just a private helicopter, smaller helicopter, or a four-seater, right?
Yeah.
Get over there, please. Can't pay you yet, but certainly we can we can get enough to gas it up, and let's save some people. The body count's already going. They're saying 166 now. But it's going to be really, I think, into the triple digits by the time this is over.
There is plans tomorrow to send our helicopter team back north of Asheville. There's a few departments that have reached out that need supplies. That would be Alexander and Woodrip, north of Asheville. They're cut off. They're working night and day, and there is no fresh water. They are 100% dependent on supplies getting dropped in by air, because there is no infrastructure to bring them in by land.
Okay. All right. Now, I just for my clarification here, if anyone listening wants to help, can't help because they don't have a helicopter, they don't have anything. Again, forget about donating or supporting Hagman Report. Support b1church.com/give. It's instant. Am I correct? When somebody makes a donation there, you're able to grab that and to fill up the tank of a helicopter. You're able to fill up the tank of a truck.
That's right.
Buy supplies, whatever you need, right?
Yes, I mean, we've delivered over £1,000 worth of food and supplies, so you can imagine the price tag on that, not to mention 3 helicopters, 2 planes, and the runtime of those, you know, helicopters running all day yesterday.
Right.
So we're fixing to do that again tomorrow. Yes, it's a cost, but we just feel that we're living out Galatians 6:2 to share one another's burdens. And so we're hoping if some people are led that they would help us to bear the financial side. And we're very appreciative to the support. We give God the glory for paving the way and for keeping our team safe while they're doing these operations.
Folks, I think you can tell this is a man of faith and this is a man of God. I know Andrew well enough to know that he's doing really God's work in the physical and the practical, doing things that other people can't, in some cases won't. So I really, really urge support. Give me an idea too. I'm trying to really get a grasp on how long is this going to take? I mean, maybe that's the wrong way to ask it. How many people right now are still in danger, still need help, still need, I mean, are we talking about 1,000, 10,000, 100,000?
So the population of Asheville is, it's got to be over 100,000 people.
Yeah, I've been to Asheville, and I'm very familiar with, well, not very, but familiar with that area, and that's kind of a wide area.
Right. There. So it's right around 95,000 people is what it says online, but you have those communities outside, those suburbs that would be more serviced by volunteer firefighter departments, or maybe they're part time. So their public safety, search and rescue, all of that is just overwhelmed right now. And so we're talking well north of 100,000 people that are in this disaster zone right now, and they have no way of leaving. The only way in and out is by air. And so those resources are precious, Doug, and we're trying to use them as wisely as we can, and we appreciate everyone's support in doing that, because this is 100% volunteer.
Right.
We don't do this stuff on the day-to-day. There is no there's no financial incentive for us to do this. This is simply sharing each other's burdens and serving, trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So all of that money that is given will go directly to supplying the people on the ground that need this help.
Okay. I know you're busy. You got to bounce. We only have about a minute and a half left. B1church.com/give. Andrew Lowe on the ground, making a difference for many people. Closing thoughts, whatever they may be.
I'd encourage people to be praying about this too, that we're starting to get reports from the ground that people get desperate, right? You know, imagine when you haven't had clean water for a couple of days, and maybe you've tried to boil some water out of the river. Maybe the food that was in the fridge, you've gone through the stuff that's sustaining you, and people are now desperate, and that becomes a more dangerous situation for everybody. And so the more help we can get people in this next couple of days, the better.
Okay.
And just be praying that people would stay calm, that supplies would get in, and that the path would be paved for us to be as effective as possible.
Andrew, I'm going to put this out as a special plea to everyone listening and watching, that they support you monetarily or through real quick. If somebody has a truck or says, hey, you know what, I've got a truck, I'm going to bring supplies down, can you be contacted through b1church.com, or do you discourage that and just, or you're asking for money?
Yeah, reach out. We'll be able to get that information and connect you with whatever emergency management team is able to receive equipment. And then they'll be able to shuttle stuff in by air, either through our team or by someone else. So yeah, that my understanding is the supplies are getting stocked in safe locations around the perimeter and then helicoptered in as it's possible. So yeah, we can help get people to the teams that are overseeing that.
Andrew Lowe, I want to thank you. Thank you for doing God's work. Thank you for doing the heavy lifting out there. Thank you for all you're doing on behalf of our crew and everyone listening. God bless you. Please stay safe. And you and I will be in touch in the coming hours, days, to make sure that you're getting the help that you need. All right, brother?
Sir, thank you, Doug.
Thank you, sir. That was Andrew Lowe. Folks, b1church.com/give. That is B-E-O-N-E, church, b1church.com/give. There it is on your screen. If you can see it, hopefully you can, but folks, dig deep. This is when it counts. This is when you can make a difference. We need to make a difference. This is, again, if I had a way to record, I probably should have recorded the conversations I had throughout the evening last night. Heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. People need our help. And let me add this. Some people prepared, and they're better off. Some people prepared, and in 1 hour, all their preps were washed away, gone. Some people didn't prepare. Now's not the time to really argue about that, but we need to help the people. We need to show that we are all children of God, regardless of anything, and help these people. From the bottom of my heart, I ask everyone listening, everyone viewing, to stand up, step up, step in, and if you're physically able to, and if you've got the trucks and the equipment to get it down there. And especially if you've got a helicopter, you can lend the use of or fly. Please do it. Billions of dollars to Ukraine. I said I wasn't going to make it political, but how can you not? Kirk Finney is a man who has been on our show before. He's in the area. He also knows what's going on. He knows how bad it is, and he's also helping out. I want to say this before I bring Kirk on. You know, you look at some of the natural disasters. In this particular case, you may think, well, my goodness, you're being foolish by saying this. You look at the natural disasters that have occurred, and this is a big one. On balance, this is the biggest, I think, in our generation. Dwarfs Katrina. And I was watching the path of the storm. Something was really off about this. Something stinks about this. We know that there are weapons to control the weather. We know that there are weather weapons. And if you don't think that's true, then I can't help you. I don't know what to tell you. I watched a video, Eric the Tech, I don't know if you saw this, where bears were the day before or the hours before the storm, bears climbing up trees. they could feel something in the wind or had the sense that something bad was coming. Climbing trees to avoid floodwaters. Often animals will give you heads up long before you realize that something bad's coming.
That's why we love our dogs.
I'm telling you. You're right. But there's just something not right with this. Kind of like Maui. If you look at what happened in Maui, and we know about the lithium.
That story disappeared real quick.
Maui did? Yes. 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 But we know about the lithium mine, the rich lithium area up in the track of the storm, and especially where everything was wiped out. You just have to ask the question, does that have anything to do with this? Just asking. Or what about the run-up to the election? Does that have anything to do with this? I'm asking the question. I'm allowed to ask questions. You might say, well, you're just full of, you're just an idiot.
Speaking of lithium, yeah. I guess lithium batteries don't like water that much.
Yeah. Actually, one person I spoke with last night said there were a couple of explosions of the vehicles. One was a fire, one was an explosion. I think the fire ended up exploding. All I know is it was a bad, bad situation. But you're right. You're not going to be
running. Lithium burns.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah. So, but Kirk Finney is with me. We'll put his website up. But Kirk, how are you, sir? Kirk Finney. Glad to see you, my friend.
I'm doing great, Doug. How are you?
Not bad at all. Just stressed over this because what a disaster. And I'm not seeing any. I had people ask last night on the phone asking me, hey, where's the help from the federal government?
Exactly.
What are your thoughts? I mean, waterrevolution.com, by the way, folks, that's Kirk Finney's website. It's on the lower third there on your monitor. If you can see this, if you can't see it, it's water-revolution.com. What are your thoughts on all of this? I'm going to turn you loose. Tell me.
Well, I mean, if you just take a look at the last week and a half, you know, last weekend we had the UN, packed for the future, you know, agreement happened in New York City. All the major leaders for the world, you know, were there. They all agreed to sign on to this thing, which essentially gives away all of our sovereign rights, you know, to the supposed world court, which they can decide to enact, you know, at any time they want over anything that happens, including, you know, storm damage and, you know, attacks in the Middle East and whatever they come up with for an excuse. And then last Wednesday, 2 days before this storm, we had local troops in that area, national troops being moved out, reserve troops moved out to the Middle East. And then, of course, on Friday, you know, Hurricane Helene hits the area and absolutely destroys 7 or 8 of my favorite towns in all of North Carolina. We'll talk about that in a second. Then you've got the dock workers strike that kicked in yesterday. You've got the vice presidential debate yesterday, and you've got the full-blown missile attack in Iran that's going to solicit, you know, a huge response. So, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in accidents, but this is not an accident. I mean, you've got 7 or 8 of these things all interplaying. Doug, you mentioned, you know, the pathway of the storm being unusual. You're darn right it's unusual. I mean, think about this. And that area, you know, is number one, the land, like we saw at the beach in Maui, is extremely valuable. I mean, hugely valuable, more than almost anything else in this, certainly in this area. I mean, I would say it's either even comparable with the Gold Coast of Long Island. I mean, it's that valuable. You look at that, especially the waterfront property, the riverfront property. So you look at that and you look at the devastation and you realize that 90% of that community exists on, you know, a low paying wage. And now all those businesses are gone. So that money, the little bit of money that they were able to make there and probably in concert with some government assistance just to stay afloat with the rising inflation for food and housing and, you know, utilities. I mean, you put all this together, it's like a perfect storm of 7 or 8 events that all converge at one time. And, you know, I think the Asheville incident, is about a land grab. And, you know, I heard a little bit, you know, the preamble, I tuned in a little bit late, and I heard Eric talk about, you know, the mineral deposits, you know, that were in there. He mentioned lithium. People don't realize, I mean, they know about the quartz deposits that are close to there that are used for virtually every microchip that's produced. You know, it's the finest, cleanest sand available, I believe, in all the country, the silicon. And then you combine that, you know, with the fact that there's a huge lithium deposit in that area as well, that, you know, they have to get rid of landowners before they can tap into that. So you put all this together and it just looks like an extension of, you know, the planned demise that we see happening, you know, all around us. And, you know, there were people, I have lots of friends that are very well prepared, you know, for almost anything that can happen. Five or six of them that are in that actual area. I was in that area last month, fly fishing with my grandson. It's some of the best fly fishing, you know, on all of the East Coast. Now, it doesn't compare, obviously, to the West Coast, you know, Wyoming and Montana, but it's pretty darn good, and it attracts a huge... That whole thing is wiped out. I mean, that whole area, the whole Pisgah National Forest, they call it the land of waterfalls. Well, you know, it certainly is a waterfall at this point. I mean, it's unbelievable. I spoke with a retired officer this morning. I'm not going to mention names, but he's got a lot of relatives in the sheriff's service all around the state. And he said that he got firsthand information that there's hundreds of people still stuck up in the trees, you know, dead bodies that were floating down this river, and that they fully expect the death count to be over 2,500 people. Now, this is to some degree supposition, but I mean, these are people, firsthand accounts, you know, there in that area, you know, going in as volunteers. I mean, you can't even get to the area. I mean, there's portions of I-40 that are just gone. They're not flooded. They're gone. You know, like you come down out of the mountains and head in, you know, toward Tennessee, gone, just wiped out. And I can tell you, just based on the little bit of firsthand bridge making that I've seen here locally in my area in the last couple of months, it takes a long time to make that happen. I mean, months and months and months. And then you couple all of this with this strike shutdown, and most people don't realize how ocean shipping works. I know how it works because I pay for quite a lot of it. And what I can tell you is that when there's an incident, any kind of an incident, those costs get shared and split up by the receivers of the cargo that's on those ships. And most people don't know that. So if a ship goes down in the middle of the ocean, well, guess what? You have to kick in as a freight owner your pro rata share of your freight for those repairs or those destruction or whatever. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, the 8 or 10 shipping companies that are on the other side of the table from the dock workers union, you know, they're going to make money on this, even though they're shut down. And the dock workers are certainly going to get a raise. I mean, the last offer was 50% and, you know, low or no automation, which is they're looking for 75% or 77. You know, why are they asking for all this money? Well, because the freight carriers made more money in 21 and 22 than the last decade and a half. So in 2 years, they made more money, more profits than the previous decade and a half. Think about that. And the last thing I want to say about that event is that every day that goes by, it costs like a week, week and a half of stoppage and buildup and freight issues. So if this thing goes more than a week, you know, we're talking about a couple of months of delays swinging us right into this retail season. So what else can they come up with, you know, to cause distray and, you know, giving, you know, kudos to Allstate, mayhem than what we can see at this point? I mean, look at all these factors kicking in. I mean, bring in the next, you know, goat flu, bird flu, whatever they call it, and, you know, you have the complete picture. So, I mean, this is a scary time, folks. It's absolutely 100% necessary to not only become prepared, but become prepared in different ways. You know, in the Army, they taught us that, you know, one is none, two is one, you know, three is better. So if you can have different mechanisms in place to at least cover the basics, you know, food, water, protection, I mean, some, you know, cash or value on hand that you can trade. All these things are essential. I mean, the time to put this off is over. We need to get serious about it. And all of these vendors that are advertised, you know, not only by Doug, but, you know, other, you know, quality programs that are out there, these are by and large great vendors that care about you, that are experienced, that not only offer the tools, but they offer the training to use those tools. You know, it's not about buying stuff and having it on hand. You have to actually know how to use all those things and execute all those things when necessary in order for them to be of value, not only for you, but for other people. I mean, think about all the people in your community that are going to need the help. I mean, we've got people that listen to this show that have more money than the average bear. And, you know, if you keep that money in dollars, you're in for a rude awakening. I'm not even sure real estate's going to go, you know, up as it has in the past. I think there's going to be a big hit there, not only commercial, but residential, because people are just running out of steam. They're running out of bucks. They're going to tighten up the money supply. We've already seen that happen. I mean, this move to a 50 basis points, decrease in the end, they didn't just do that by accident. They did it because they knew that they had to even survive the next couple of months. And we're not even talking about the election yet. And all the dismay that that's causing. I mean, another ridiculous debate. Doug, I'm sure you watched all or part of that debate last night. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I am so over debates. I'm so over the political theater. It blows my mind. I watched the debate. And I can think for myself. And then I've got... in my office, I've got two monitors on each side and then the main screen. And I watched the debate through Real America's Voice. And then on the left, I had, appropriately so, MSNBC. And on the right, I had, the War Room on. The difference... it was almost like they were describing two different events. It was crazy. But with respect to walls, I sent out a picture. The optics of that debate were very, it reminded me of Kennedy Nixon in terms of, how Kennedy, the Democrat versus Nixon, the Republican, it wasn't the content as much as it was the appearance. Waltz, but in this case, it was both. Waltz was certainly, he didn't bring all the IQ points that were needed to go against J.D. Vance. Again, we had a 3-1 debate. You had J.D. Vance fighting off the moderators as well as the candidate Waltz. And the main issues about the communist Chinese connections never came up. Why not? The main issues about the stolen valor lies, which are important, never came up. Or it was just, to me, I'm just over that. I'm over all of this. And I came away thinking to myself, there are really three types of people. Again, you know, the people that can see the truth, the people that fall for the delusion, and then the people that don't give a crap. We've got to pick a side here, and we've got to pick the proper side. And I think the proper side, obviously, is not what the last four years has been, but the track record of the previous 4 years to that. Now, having said all of that, and I know that was more than you really wanted to, I want to go back to something you said. What really hacks me off here, and I think this is no accident, I think you're 100% right. Eric the Tech, if you can show the port strike at the time this was put up, it was looming. This is a map of the ports affected by this strike. And what is it, 45 or 47 ports in this map? The tonnage that goes through the ports, and people don't have any clue of what this is going to do to our economic system, already suffering from this regime that has crippled it intentionally. So, and then you've got Harold Daggett, he was just a little bit more, how can I put this? His attitude was off-putting, to say the least. This is a guy who owns a 76-foot yacht and a Bentley. And he gets paid almost $800,000 a year plus. And he's out there saying, basically, we're going to cripple the U.S. So, You said a lot. I said a lot. I don't know. Words fell out of my mouth. You can pick them up and reassemble them to make it a coherent thought, my friend. But continue, please.
Well, Doug, I mean, everything you said was extremely well said, you know, and right on point. I mean, I agree with you, you know, about Daggett. He's definitely an interesting fellow. But I got to say, if I was a dock worker, I'd be pretty glad that he was my union president. The guy's a ball buster, kind of like Trump, and he goes in there, you know, heavy handed. And I think that's what's necessary. Now, whether they deserve this 75% or whatever it is they're asking for is debatable. But certainly billions and billions and billions of dollars have been profited, you know, by these shipping companies that they have not shared, you know, adequately those increases, you know, with the dock workers in any way, shape or form. I mean, I'm not necessarily a pro-union guy. I've never been involved with a union. But my philosophy is this, you know, spread the wealth around with the people that are actually making a difference. And I know, you know, they're concerned, you know, with all their hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dock workers across the country is not only the living wage today, but it's having enough money, you know, to take care of the retirement promises, which I know are very extensive in that industry. So there's a lot going on there, but I agree with you. If the shutdown, you know, ends like many suspect it will, you know, close to this weekend or shortly thereafter, curtail, most people can handle that with their inventory. I don't think you'll see a big problem. Starts to get into that second week, and God forbid the third week, and it's going to change the way that you and I can buy products and have availability, and you'll see the prices increase. And that, you know, maybe that's the plan. I mean, I don't think that things just happen. I think they happen just, you know, when dealing with big business and the government. And I think that more than likely this is part of a plan so that they can institute perhaps, you know, the saving price controls that, you know, the way Bill Clinton says it, Kamala, the way Kamala, you know, wants it to happen. And, you know, I couldn't believe last night, you know, when Waltz referred to himself as was it a knucklehead?
Knucklehead.
He was a knucklehead.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's an old Harley Davidson bike rider. So I think he meant that, you know, the way that we used to say it. And like jarhead, knucklehead, or jughead. I shouldn't say jarhead, but because I don't want to, you know, go against the Marines, but even though I'm an Army vet. But I just think that, you know, too many coincidences. I don't buy into any of it. I think it's all planned. I think that, you know, Vance was very careful last night, you know, not to cause direct offense. And I thought he did a very good job. I mean, you know, he talked about Nixon and JFK. I agree. I think could have brought up so much more, and that always is the case, but they were quick to cut this guy off. I mean,
oh, yeah.
We saw it happen two or three times. Boom, there goes the switch. The mics go off. You know, I'm sorry, you know, Senator, but, you know, your time is out. Your time is out. Your time. We have to move on, you know, to an unrelated subject that nobody – let's get off the real subject and go to a, you know, a non-starter subject that no one really cares about. The discourse on the Second Amendment was ridiculous. I mean – my God, I could have played either side, you know, 10 times better than I saw there. And he certainly didn't bring up any of the things that he could have, you know, about Waltz. But, you know, I got to say, I thought the whole thing was pretty boring. The background reminded me of like PowerPoint, you know, stock backgrounds from like 1986. What about you, Eric? Did you think that too?
Absolutely.
You know, the neon blue, you know, it's just kind of bizarre. They doesn't seem like they put a lot of effort into that.
No,
I don't know.
And you know, my thoughts, I think J.D. Vance took the high road. I think it was a CNN commentator, believe it or not, said that he, it looked like Tim Walz walked into the wrong bar. He was out of his element. But yet this morning, of course, Morning Joe and other leftist news organizations are saying, oh, my gosh.
That's a great picture.
Yeah, that's what I put. I mean, it's all about optics, right? Politics, snapshots, and sound bites. There's a snapshot.
Yeah, that's just great. I love that.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know who, whatever the name on the original account captured that. But, yeah, that's... wow, you know, it's just absolutely incredible. But, you know, the thing about the port strike, just going back just for one moment, you know, I think this reflects a bigger issue that that I'm concerned with. Why are we having so many, why are we having to import so much? For example, 70%, and I've heard numbers as high as 90% of our pharmaceuticals are being imported from other countries. Why? That's important for us to have here in the U.S. I think maybe if there's any good in this, perhaps, and tell me what you think, is it possible that Americans will start saying, wait a second, we should be producing here, we should be manufacturing here, which is really the basis, the foundation of the Trump-Vance platform. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I got to tell you, Doug, I agree completely. I think, you know, open trade, you know, across the seas has always been the case. I mean, even way back in ancient history, it's gotten out of hand. I think the powers that be would rather get, you know, 10% for the big guy cut and not have to produce or make anything than actually go through the trouble of doing the manufacturing, running the manufacturing, taking care of the employees, all the things that are required. I think the onset of gigantic, ginormous, business regulation, especially as it pertains to manufacturing, that nobody can really get ahead of. I mean, it just keeps going and going, the requirements. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And that's a big problem, too. And I think Vance maybe touched on that, or it was something Trump said the other day. I can't remember. But the regulations are a big issue. And that's the biggest thing that we're going to see, with the new Trump presidency, is you'll see that pared off and curtailed, and maybe some new regulations, put in. Maybe, with RFK Jr. behind it, to take hold of some of these crooked government agencies. And that's what they are. The idea that you can be involved in a regulatory agency, knowing that you have a golden parachute, a slide job, right afterward, working for the drug company that you used to be in charge of regulating, is insane. I mean, I don't think anybody can overcome that kind of, tease. I mean, think about it. I mean, you could take the most constant-minded person, send him into government these days, and before you know it, he's pulling the switch on all these crazy things because the incentives are just so large, not to be. And what we've seen is just an overall decrease in the absolute morality of people as a result of these shenanigans. I mean, the graft is way over the top. I mean, there's always been some graft. I mean, I'd rather have a crooked, smart, politician, trying to do the right thing than an idiot buffoon, who's completely honest. I mean, let's look at this. I mean, in business, sometimes you have to make some maneuvers. I can't even imagine what it must be like in politics. But think about this. I care about the destination. If you're going, down the block and you're off a few degrees, it's no big deal. But if you're trying to travel around the world and you're off a few degrees, you got a big problem. So I think that we need to get straight thinking, business oriented, people in there. And the idea that you can't be business oriented and also be a humanitarian is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, look at the response to this latest storm.
Yes.
All the initial response for the first 3 or 4 days was private individuals and religious organizations. I mean, only yesterday did somebody in Washington raise their hand and say, oh, by the way, yeah, we're going to do this and this. I mean, we saw more immediate responses to the Haiti disaster, to previous hurricanes that have happened in this area. I saw firsthand in the early 80s when I was stationed with the 25th Infantry Division in Hawaii, I saw immediate response to, I think it was Hurricane Iwa, maybe 1982. Floyd came through this area in North Carolina in 96. Absolutely devastating, immediate response, from the government. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, the fact that they had to wait 3 or 4 days to get meaningful response from other than local support. And yes, the Reserve and National Guard, I know, was in there, and there was, EMS, workers and all of that. But the federal government should have stepped right in. I mean, I can tell you right now that if Donald Trump was president, they would have been in there the very next day. Boom, done. An entire division, perhaps, of the military in there. But instead, they flew those Reserve and National Guards from that area, off to the Middle East 2 days earlier. 2 days. Now, I'm not a mathematician. I didn't do great at math, but I understand percentages and probability. And there just is no probability for what we see right now with these chains of events that are absolutely linked together. I mean, I've seen a lot of people in alternative news saying, well, I don't really understand, you know, the weather control, and I'm not sure, I don't subscribe to, you know, what do they call it, conspiracy theories. Let me tell you what, these things are happening on purpose, looking to demoralize and take down the United States slowly. If they do it all at once, the rebellion would happen immediately. So they have to do it, you know, sectionally, one small step at a time, the old boiling the frog story. And it just keeps getting worse. I mean, look at this. Look at these things in the last week and a half. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, more has happened in the last week and a half than has happened in the last year and a half.
Yes.
And most people don't see it because they get swept into the emotion. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this point. You know, you got to get prepared, folks. Got to do it. Do it now. Don't wait.
You know, I've been hearing, watching, listening to the Hillary Clintons, the elite of the elite, talking about potential black swan, a potential black swan event. I think we're seeing numerous black swan events. If there's a coup de grace perhaps coming, well, boy, I'll tell you, I don't think it's going to be by accident. It's going to be by planning. Kirk, you're one of the most intelligent people I know. And you combine that with your awareness of current events, you just really lay it all out for us. And I really appreciate that. And of course, Kirk's website is water-revolution.com. The link will be in the program description box. And I really appreciate that. And I want to talk to you about what you do to water too, because that's important to me from a health standpoint. And it should be important to every one of you out there. All right. And look, especially in today where people will be fighting for clean water, but this water is different. I have a doctor friend who said it's almost the water that comes out is almost addictive. And I know, Kirk, you know who I'm talking about.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah, so, I installed this system for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a great system. But Kirk Finney, waterrevolution.com with a hyphen in there. Before I get back to Kirk, I just want to just tell everyone, folks, listen up to this. I want to just take a moment to talk about something important that affects so many of us. Do you constantly feel exhausted, weighed down, struggle to get through the day? Well, the culprit might be right under your nose. And that could be a sluggish, overworked liver. Folks, I want you to go to getliverhelp.com/Hagman, two ends on Hagman. There I am in a previously dated picture. Dude, quit laughing, Eric. I'm telling you, every time he puts that up, he starts laughing. I don't know what I was thinking there. But the reality is, folks, is your liver is under constant attack from processed foods, environmental toxins, GMOs, microplastics, fluoride, and so many other things that we still don't know about. Over time, this takes a serious toll. In fact, a staggering 100 million Americans now suffer from an overworked and sluggish liver. This, according to the American Liver Foundation, did you know they had one? They do. Okay, that's nearly one out of every three people. So if you're tired of feeling sluggish and are ready to reclaim your vitality, I highly recommend giving your liver the support it desperately needs, wants, crying out for, and that's Liver Health Formula from our sponsor, Pure Health Research. The cutting-edge supplement combines 11, count them, 11 powerful clinical proven ingredients. And these detoxify and regenerate. They fix, how's that, your liver at the cell level. And that's important. Liver Health Formulas, natural ingredients and nutrients are designed to revitalize your liver, help raise energy, optimize metabolism, manage weight. And this company has already helped more than 2 million Americans. So it's time you joined their ranks and get back to feeling your best. And as a special offer for my listeners, you can try Liver Health Formula and get a free 1 month supply of nano-powered omega-3 to support your heart health as well. This is an exclusive offer for the listeners of the Hagman Report. To claim your free gift, just go to getliverhelp.com/Hagman. That's getliverhelp.com/Hagman. Folks, take the first step toward better liver health and more vibrant living today. Please do that. And again, that URL is getliverhelp.com/Hagman, two ends on Hagman. All right. Again, my guest is Kirk Finney of waterrevolution.com, but he's much more than that. He's a guy that not only does that, a businessman, but he also has this keen insight into current events and to what's going on today. What are your thoughts, since you mentioned an array of thoughts here domestically, what are your thoughts, you mentioned this as well, what's going on overseas with respect to the Mideast? Are we ready to see a broadening of that that war that's already regional, but it's going to get, to me, it's going to get bigger. What are your thoughts on that? And is that a consequence of perhaps perceived weakness on our part?
Gosh, that's a tough subject to get into. It's so involved and you know, pretty polarized, you know, on both ends. My personal feeling is I don't like war. I don't think it makes any sense. I think that you know, that trade and friendship is much better. I think there's no reason you can't trade with people that have a different, you know, philosophical view than you do. And I think that you know, we really don't have business being involved in a lot of these international, you know, events that we are, which is what, you know, George Washington talked about 250 years ago and sort of was repeated, you know, by Dwight Eisenhower in his exit speech. I just think that it's a stupid way, you know, building, you know, weapons of you know, either low or mass destruction is a great business. I mean, this stuff is very, very expensive. I kind of feel like there's better uses for those funds on all sides than what we see over there. And I think war is a tremendous business. And I think it's a great lever, you know, politically in many ways. All of that being said, I mean, if somebody comes and tries to bomb us, you know, or take our stuff or hurt us in some fashion, we need to respond in kind. I think the best, you know, defense is a strong offense that hopefully you never have to use. And that's just my short, you know, answer. Exactly what's happening there, I'm not sure. I can tell you it's all controlled. It's all scripted. There are no accidents. I don't think this just happened. I think it's been planned. I think these things are sequenced. And it's like that movie, you know, Wag the Dog, you know, where they show how these events are used to, you know, manipulate and change the psychological viewpoint of the population. I think it's all about that. I think Alex was right. You know, InfoWars, it's all about that. And, you know, we can't help but get sucked into it because it's very emotional. I mean, I spent almost 5 years in the Army. I consider myself a patriot. As far as the foreign entanglements are concerned, I think we could probably do with a lot less of them, especially at this point. We've got, you know, millions of U.S.-born Americans that can't feed or house themselves properly at this point. They certainly can't educate themselves properly at this point. Again, all by design. It's not an accident. We've got, what is it, between 30 and 50 million illegal aliens or immigrants, you know, in this country. Certainly the criminals, we need to get rid of them immediately. The other people, you know, I'm not sure. The problem is they come in mass like this, and once they become nationalized, then they have the right to bring in all their relatives and their neighbors and their friends in the village and who knows, God knows what else. This whole thing is insane. I mean, we've got 10% of the island of Haiti now living here, you know, in the United States. We've got the same thing happening with these other South American and now African and Middle Eastern countries. I mean, come on. I mean, these people that are coming over, they're not even being, you know, screened properly. I mean, think about the impact of that. I mean, Vance talked a little bit about how it costs money, you know, in housing. Well, it's changing the actual structure of our country to the point where we won't have a country. And folks, this is not new. Look back thousands of years ago to the fall of Rome. Same chain of events. They bring in the aliens. They screw the people, you know, mentally because they can't. There's no cohesiveness left. Nobody understands the same things, you know, the definitions of words. And boom, it's done. And then the finance, right? They give away money. And then before you know it, you know, the people that produce are like, I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, like Atlas Shrugged, they're going to move away somewhere. I'm not going to produce if I don't get to keep any of my things, especially if I feel the philosophy of the people spending what I produce is being scattered to the wind and used for evil purposes. They're just going to stop the production. And I think you'll see that happen next if this continues. We got to make sure Trump gets in the White House. Listen, I'm not a giant flag-waving fan of Trump. I don't have any illusions. I'm not sure this guy is. I think he probably is God-sent, you know, to get us in the right direction. I certainly don't consider him a prophet. I'm not sure how strong a Christian he really is. I think he might be stronger now, you know, after those assassination attempts than he was before, kind of like the foxhole, you know, a Baptist. You know, I think that, you know, when you're getting shot out of your life's in danger, you tend to go back to that because it's ingrained in all of us, whether we believe or not, it's there. And I think that, you know, it's going to be very interesting moving forward. But, you know, like Matt Bracken says, I would rather have a drunk drug addict pilot with bad morality trying to land the plane than someone just desiring to slam it into the side of a mountain. And I think that's now the choice that we have. We've got to not only get behind Trump, but we've got to entice as many people as we can to get the vote out if we have a chance to do that. I any one of these events, I mean, you start to put these things together, and this could be a great excuse to curtail or postpone the election. Or, you know, it's not safe. You know, all they have to do is create an explosion event somewhere in the U.S. and they can claim that we're being attacked and we're now at full scale war and we have to bring on the safety measures. Nobody can leave their house, you know, shelter in place or whatever this thing was they were pitching, you know, 2 years ago. I mean, think about this. And then they could just say, well, you know, we're certainly going to have an election, but we can't do it now, you know, kind of like the Ukraine scenario. And before you know it, you know, either Biden steps down, he's mentally unfit, I mean, clearly, or he just decides to retire or he dies, you know, from some disease. And then Kamala steps in and there we go. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I tell you this, I'm scared and I'm mad as heck and I don't want to take it anymore. What can we do, you know, other than prepare, educate and try to educate friends? But Doug, you and I both know that the mass population, you know, fits into that stupid and happy, you know, segment where they just don't even take the time to analyze these things. I mean, they're all out there for anybody to see, but they don't analyze them. They don't consider them true, probably because a lot of them are living on the government dole in some fashion, some righteous, some unrighteous. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong, obviously, with living on Social Security. You paid into this system your whole life. You know, your big union worker, teachers, dock workers, whatever. Part of the deal was government employees, they would get this money, right, moving forward in the retirement. And, you know, is that bad? I don't know. I just know that it doesn't make dollars and cents anymore. And at some point, I think it'll probably stop, you know, unless they can thin the population out to the point where those support, you know, percentages are not what they used to be. And I think that's a move, you know, at this point, too. So it's a shocking time. And, you know, again, we can talk about this until we're blue in the face, but we have to prepare because if not, you're going to become a cat. You know, if you treat this casually, you will become a casualty. I mean, there's no question about that at this point. And I think everybody needs a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. If you can't afford to get prepared, no worries. Find somebody that can, team up with them, donate your labor, do what you have to do. I mean, you know, when you make the decision to turn this thing into the action that you need to, the ways and means to do that will become available. I'm a firm believer of that. And we all need to do it at this point.
If I can toss a very shameless pitch for a product, are you prepared? You know, one thing that I've seen, I've talked to the people in the Carolinas, fresh water. And, you know, you can have all the plastic bottles you can gather. But, folks, one product I'm really hot on, I mean, really, I just love this, is the water filtration, the Ready Pure Emergency Wellness Filter. If you go to water-revolution.com, it's going to be linked in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. Check this out. I mean, it's one of the finest, I believe, the finest made water purification systems out there. And I want you to be prepared because, again, fresh water, after my conversations, plural, last night with people about water and about preparations, water is key, and this will I'm telling you, you need this, whether you know it or not. That's a Ready Pure Emergency Wellness filter. And that's item 20, what is it, 2600, 2500? You can see it on the screen. Click on that link and get yourself one of those as soon as possible. I'm telling you, it beats any other purification system out there, portable purification system out there. So, but having said all of that, Kirk, do you think, and by the way, shop at their website and get a hold of Kirk, get a water insulator, have a water system installed in your home. You are going to see the difference in the drinking water. It's just phenomenal. But let me ask you this. We've got, 30 some odd days between now and the election. A lot can happen during that time. What do you see in addition to what's already happened? And I know you alluded to this, but what do you see taking place? Do you see just one thing or a number of things? Or could it be something like you mentioned about like the Iranian threat? Could it be misattribution in terms of we have an Iranian threat against President Trump, and that gives license to, our own organizations to target and perhaps take out President Trump, is as horrible as that sounds, even it's unthinkable, but help me out here to decipher maybe the immediate future in your observations.
Well, I mean, based on my background, you know, my MI background, I mean, we're ripe, you know, for a green flag, you know, black swan event. Yep. I mean, look at what we've seen just recently. You know, we talked about the hurricane storm, the missile attack, the dock workers strike, the UN Pact for the Future, which is the end game that Alex always talked about. I mean, I was in a meeting with a man named McManus, and this was 30 years ago in Long Island with other business people. And, you know, he very eloquently explained, and this is the first time I ever heard this, that the United Nations was an evil, satanic, you know, communist-based organization, and that we had no business to be involved in. I mean, all I knew from before that was, you know, the tours that I had taken as a grade school kid, you know, into New York, because we're from Long Island, you know, touring the various UN buildings. And then, you know, the orange milk thing, you know, the UNICEF money on Halloween, you know, to collect money for the starving children. I mean, that's all I knew. I thought it was like a Pollyanna, you know, do-gooder organization. Not true. I mean, they've got an altar in that building that's not for Jesus or God, but for Satan. It's put up by the Lucius Trust, you know, the Lucifer Trust.
Yep.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So when you get into it and you start to read some of this information, you see that that is the end game. And we just agreed, or Biden agreed, you know, basically to what amounts to a treaty without any kind of Senate or House, you know, ratification. I mean, think about this. They basically just gave all of our rights away, along with every other first and second world country. I mean, the third world countries probably don't even care, but all the first and second world countries voted for this thing. And all it takes is an event that they get to define and they get to say is happening, whether it is or not. And all of a sudden, all of us are now ruled by the world court, which is governed by the Secretary General of the UN, whichever communist, you know, it happens to be at that point. So this is a scary situation, folks. And you know, you asked me what I think. Well, I think that they would never have put Kamala and you know, tampon knucklehead Tim into the position of being the Democratic nominees if they didn't, one, believe that they were going to absolutely lose and they were just going to throw them in the wind, or if they didn't believe that they either had such a fix or such a series of planned events to curtail the election. I mean, it's either A or B. It's not going to be an honest vote, and because it can't be. I mean, think about this. I don't think you could pull 20 people off the street that were walking, you know, that could physically walk and talk and not have, you know, 15 or 16 of them say they're going to vote for Trump. I don't think you can do it. I mean, based on my experience, I don't care where you are. I mean, you know, we talk about these red states and blue states. I mean, these blue states are a red state with small blue dots in populated areas, and pizza boxes, you know, up on the windows, you know, in the counting room. I mean, that's how they run this thing. That's how they've always done it. It's just to a greater degree now than we've ever seen before. But those candidates are not plausible. I mean, they're not electable by any shake of the stick. I'm not sure they're legally electable. I mean, think about Waltz. He's been to China 20 times with fourth and fifth graders. What's that about?
30.
I mean, think about that for a second.
Yeah.
And not to mention, I'm not even going to talk about this. It's so disgusting. But I've read other articles about some of his medical events that he's had in the past. And let me tell you, these things are, they'll shake you to the core, you know, when you look into it. I mean, we're talking what goes way beyond Mr. Ed.
Yeah. The story of Mr. Yeah, Ed. Right. I put up on X account a picture, or it was a little display of, you remember, I think it was Christmas vacation or vacation where Clark Griswold was going down the road and sees, who was that? Christie Brinkley in the, anyway, it was,
right. In the pool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was in the car. But anyway, the thing was, they superimposed Waltz's head on Chevy Chase and Christie Brinkley. It was a horse's head. I laughed my backside off. For people that don't know what we're talking about, you can thank us for not going down that road. But at any rate, it's difficult to believe. There.
Oh, that's funny.
I laughed. I couldn't stop laughing when I saw that. Again, I love your approach to an outlook to things. You're mentioning the UN in that vote. I think people really don't understand what happened, the gravity of that situation. I don't think a significant portion of our listenership, for sure, but our citizens are going to put up with any type of UN involvement in the U.S. I just don't see that I can see it taking place, but I don't see it ending well. And maybe that's what they want. Maybe they want that chaos. I don't know. And I look ahead toward Election Day. What's it going to be like in the days after if the situation is too big to rig and we have a Trump-Vance victory? What's that situation going to look like in the days after that? I'm just wondering about this and all of the things that could happen between election and Inauguration Day. We're in a very dangerous time in our country, the most dangerous I think we've ever been. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are is that it's going to get ugly. People are going to get injured and die. And I want to make sure that somebody's in charge that's trying to stop it and turn it around than, you know, people that claim that they're at the beach or at a fundraiser, you know, in California. And that's what I think this has come down to. And so whether or not you love Trump, hate Trump, think Vance is a good guy, you know, think he's, you know, from a scam, I it doesn't really matter. These guys are going to try to land the plane. And it's like Denzel Washington, you know, in that movie Flight. They're going to try to land the plane.
Yes.
And I believe they can still do it. But it's going to take the right people in charge and the right people in charge of these organizations. And I believe, you know, virtually half the government just shut down. I mean, most of it is just not doing anything to help us. It just isn't. And not much to help other people. I mean, you know, listen, they're causing a lot of these problems with the food, with the environment, and all of these things. And then they're coming up with these expensive, you know, badly managed solutions that are just designed to waste money and waste people's time. We need to get off of that. We, you know, it's like the S training. We need to get off of that and get on, you know, with the right program. And I think we can do that. I absolutely do. I mean, I have a lot of hope that we can, but it's going to take a lot of effort, and it's going to cause some pain. I mean, there's no question about it. And you know, for God's sake, don't be one of those people that doesn't have access to clean water, like what we see now these storms, to where you have to go out to some, you know, handout facility to get it. Wait on these lines. I mean, think about that in mass in some of these big cities. I mean, Asheville, it's a good size area, but it still really is kind of like a small hometown place other than downtown. But, you know, think about having to do that in New York City or, you know, greater LA or the Atlanta Metroplex or, you know, the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I mean, you don't want that to happen. So, you know, get prepped, do what you have to do, you know, food, water, protection, basics, nothing fancy. And, you know, for those that like fancy, we've certainly got those water products available. We've got a number of specials that we're running right now. We've got a salt-free entire whole home conditioning system with a brand new, super easy, intuitive to program a digital valve at $500 off. I think your net on that is like $2,100. We're talking a backwashing filtration system plus the DynaPure energy system for your house. It's unbelievable. The value is incredible. We're doing this to help everybody. And, you know, if we can make a few bucks along the way, we want to do that too. But believe me, it's not high profit at this point. You know, we're trying to be competitive in the market and give the best technology we can. And I think you'll find our service is second to none. I mean, we, you know, for those that are local, we can assist with installations, but we assist everybody long range with telephonic installation support. I would say 80 to 85% of our equipment is installed by the homeowner with our help and advice. And we're very good at doing that. I've been a contractor virtually my entire adult life. I'm a journeyman, you know, plumber, carpenter, you know, foundation work, electrician, the whole nine yards. So, I mean, not that we guide people in complicated electrical work, but we can help. These installations are easy. They're pretty much plug and play, especially the under sink. We've got a great new device that's under $300. I think it's called the Hagman Bioprotect system. That's available as well. That'll ensure that you can have the cleanest water possible under your sink without the much more expensive equipment. And anybody that orders this, give me a second. I got to grab this.
All right. Never had a product named after or namesake.
You get the Hagman custom hat, is absolutely phenomenal. And that's available. You can see that hat now in the shopping cart and all of its views. It's got embroidery on the side. One side says Hagman PI. The other side says Shadow Band. And this is a great conversation starter. And, this is for everybody. I mean, we want to support Doug and his operation and Eric and also, you know, us. I mean, we believe in what we're doing and we're here to help you. You're going to get the personalized service. You're going to get the great deals. I'm starting to sound like Alex Jones, so I'll cut it short.
No, I mean, but, you're absolutely right.
We want your business.
Yeah. You're 100% right. Preach it because, my doctor said Doug, you need to drink more water. I mean, everyone says that to me. And I say, well, look, I drink water in my coffee. But your system, I don't know what you do to water, but I'm going to tell you something. Old Doc was absolutely correct. It's absolutely almost addicting. It's just the best water you'll ever taste. Plus, you need it. Go ahead, sir. Continue.
Back in 2010, we created a proprietary, what we call energized media solution, which creates an energy shift in the water that makes it more bioavailable, more easily absorbed. It's got a super high, it's not an antioxidant, but it has a super high antioxidant-like value in that it carries a slight negative electrical charge. So you get a lot of the benefits that you would from these very expensive multi $1,000 countertop electric units, all with a non-electric frame. So it's suitable for anybody. And it's there, you know, when you need it most, you know, in an emergency. And I don't think you can beat it. And for those that have well water at home, what are you going to do when the electric gets shut off and your submersible pump in your well no longer works and it's powered, by a 220 circuit that your standard electric generator can't handle? What are you going to do? Well, we've got a device that we rep. This is the only thing really that we sell that we don't manufacture. It's called the Simple Pump System, and it's a way to pump water directly into a pressure vessel, either the one you have now or a much larger version, without electricity. And it's super easy to install for most people, and it'll pump water up manually from depths of up to 300 feet into a pressure vessel. And we're talking about a couple of $1,000s here. So if you don't have if you've got a rural property and you don't have any way to get water if the electric shuts down, you absolutely need to ask us about the Simple Pump. I was at an appointment this morning, out about an hour and a half from here, And I tell you, these things are great. I put one into my property about 2.5 years ago, and I actually had occasion to use it. The electric cable to my well house was breached by a tree root, you know, not an accident, just by a root. It was in there for 20, 25 years. A tree root must have snapped it. It wasn't conduited. I mean, it was fully jacketed, but it wasn't conduited. So it took about 4 or 5 days to lay that new line, and I would have been completely without water in the house were it not for the simple pump system. So it really is a godsend. And right now, the custom manufacturing on that is running about 6 to 8 weeks. Last year was 15 to 18 weeks.
Okay.
So take advantage of that now. And when they give you a delivery date, they live to it. So give us a call.
Beautiful. Kirk Finney, water-revolution.com. In the program description box, HagmanPI.com. God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much. I really appreciate all you do.
Thanks so much, Doug. Love you guys.
Back at you. That'll do it, folks.